Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Dear brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining us this morning for All Things Human. The new format is simply airing from our archives lectures from Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. They are effectively random. They won't be chosen because of any specific title or any specific order. They'll mainly be chosen because of the quality of the sound, the ability to give clear message from the Imam. But my prime motivation is for it to serve as a morning meditation for you when you listen. And you take your own notes and you reflect and you think on it. I recommend you get a composition book or a journal, and just these are just your weekly notes in your study of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, without consideration for my comments or comments of anyone afterwards. It's just a meditation and a study for you personally into the language, logic, and legacy of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. So thank you, and I hope this format works for you. God's peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Understand that even though Prophet Muhammad's own word is not Quran, it's not called revelation as such, God inspired him, and what he said too has authority next to the Quran. And Prophet Muhammad told them during his farewell address. It must have been awful important because he gave it during the farewell address. He said, if your leader should become a man whose head is nappy, it looks like a raisin, a dried up raisin from the black people, then accept him and obey him. That tells us in Islam, the person that you despise most has equal dignity and equal freedom and equal rights with you. Allah is not looking to the color of your face or to the features or to the hair texture. He's the intellectual possibility, the political possibility that is in man, in every man. It's not restricted to any race. No, indeed. So Prophet Muhammad said, if your leader becomes the dried up, shrinking, nappy-headed African, follow him and obey him. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
This is the religion you need. And Allah has blessed us. Allah has blessed us. This is divine. This is divine answer. This is not our doing. This is not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's plan. This is not W. Farah's plan. W. Farah, he's sad. He's disappointed. Because I didn't bring you into his pocket.
That's right.
This is not his plan. He planned to establish you and then use you. But Allah blessed them. They pray for a goodly child. And when the child is born, they associate others in his birth. And they plan, and Allah plans, and he is the best of planners. So they get together, they say, we're going to produce this. We are creators. We're going to create our man to rule. And the man turned out and he can't use it because he didn't turn out like they wanted him to turn out. So Allah said, and they prayed for a goodly child. And when Allah make him really good, then they're in trouble. They're in trouble. Yeah, they didn't want me this good. Allah did this. They wanted a girl child. See, a man got together and got a wife, and he wanted a girl baby that he could have some more children by. And Allah said, no, this ain't gonna be no girl baby. So you can call him Walasa, Walasa if you want to. I said, no, he's Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Yes, I've met with the big boys, and Allah has blessed me to see into their minds and into their thinking, into their language. Allah said he taught Adam the names of things and the angels to be. So Allah has blessed me to see into their very language. I was at a big meeting of them over with them overseas. They were introducing me to their people. Imam Marzuddin Muhammad. I'm trying to sound exactly like that. Imam Marzuddin Muhammad. Allah has blessed him to leave all of the corruption and come upon the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. They have left all of the mixtures, the mixed up things now, and they are on the solid safe way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now through Imam Marzuddin Muhammad, we are going to bring about the green belt all the way from Africa and the Middle East all the way to America. We want to form a marriage. I say, who's going to be the husband?
That's right.
And they understood what I meant. I ain't your wife, buddy. All right. This is above most of your heads. But I think you got my message. So on that, let's be strong. And let's accept the leader that God has blessed you with. And let us follow Imam Razuddin Muhammad and build a great community. A community that respects the purity of the Constitution of the United States. A community that will not let outsiders exploit us for their own benefit and turn us against the United States so that they benefit and leave us over here to be crushed by the powers of the United States after they have used us up. Let us not trust these outsiders. Trust Imam Razuddin Muhammad. There's no sheikh over there, no sheikh, nor shaker that can match your Imam Razuddin Muhammad for this job here in America. This is the way we're going to do it. This is the way we're going to have success. But if you turn your head and look toward those who speak Arabic more fluently than me, or those who charm you with their commentaries of Quran, you're going to be left behind because we are going forward. They cannot catch us. Allah has put us ahead of them, and they will never catch us because Allah's word has come to us in this Quran. And we have the light. We have the insight. We don't need no translators or interpretation. Yes. Let me open the book. May I hold you just a little longer? Let me open Quran where I was reading from this the notes that I took for the khutbah are in the chapter Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran. And it begins, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim is the Allahu, La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Nazzala alayka al-kitaba bil-haqti musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi wa anzala al-tawrata wal-injil. It says, وَأَنْزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ مِنْ قَبْلُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَأَنْزَلَ الْفُرْقَانَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء منه ابتغاء الفتنة تأتي وابتغاء تأويل وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. Now, I gave you the first part. Now here's the last part. We went over the first part in the discussion we had so far in the khutbah. Now let's come to the last part that I want to bring your attention to here now. It says, and he is the one who revealed to you, O Muhammad, that is, Prophet Muhammad, the book of the revelation. Some of its verses are those that are substance, are those that are represents the foundation of the religion. It says, "Kunna umul kitab." They are the basis, they are the mother of the book, they are the essentials of the book, the substance of the book. Wa ukharu mutashabihat, and the others, those that sit in the other categories, they are allegorical. They are verses that allude to something else, tell something by what you call analysis, or by parables, or in parables, etc. They are to be interpreted. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. But those who have in their heart some purpose to bring about wrong, wrong intent, or to twist, or to change, are to Zegun, who have in their heart Zegun, who have in their heart a intention to create division, schism within the community of the Muslims. Excuse me, if I can have tissue. Says such persons who have such a desire in their heart, idea in their heart, they follow, or they prefer that is allegorical, or that is given in parables, because excuse me. Because they have desire, to mislead the community. They have a desire to split the Muslims, create divisions among the Muslims, you see. So they favor that requires a whole lot of interpretation over that is clear, straightforward, straight to the point, represents the basis of the basic structure and substance of the religion. Now there are those who charge me with this. I've had one come to me and said, "Brother Imam, the Quran condemns that. You're not supposed to do that." Says no one knows the ta'wil, the correct interpretation of Quran, but Allah. Says right here in the Quran, no one knows but Allah. I didn't even reply to them, because I knew their heart, I knew their intention. It was obvious to me what they wanted to do. They wanted to discredit me so you wouldn't have a leader. That's all they wanted, so they can take my place over you, get you to follow them. That's all they wanted. I didn't even reply to them. But I'm telling you, Allah says in the Quran, in the Surah Yusuf, it says, in Joseph and in his brethren are great signs for those who seek understanding. Lissa'ilin. For those who are seeking understanding. And what does it say in that chapter? Say, and Allah taught Joseph the ta'wil. So if only Allah knows that really, it means that it's with him. You can't know it unless he give it to you. And Allah taught Joseph that really. And that's why it's written like it is in the Quran. It says, and no one knows that really except Allah. And then it says, and those soundly grounded in knowledge, they say, you can't get to him, because Allah hasn't guided you. So what do you mean? No one knows the ta'wil. No one knows the interpretation of these verses. How come? Allah says that he will send one, raise up one among them, who will teach them the book and the wisdom. What is the wisdom? The wisdom is not just in the plain. That's not where the wisdom is. The wisdom is in the understanding that is hidden under the ta'wil. Or in the ta'wil. That's where it is. Certainly. And those who want to divide the community, they go there too. I go there to bring you to understanding. to bring you to clarity, to show you what is really true al-Islam, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. But they go there to make you confused, to confuse you, and make you have all kind of crazy ideas and mess up your mind, but you can't get understanding. They go there to break up the society of the Muslims, to create division. Then Farad teaching establish a false interpretation of Quran. He said that Quran is made once every 1,000 years. Who? The question is, who writes Quran or Bible? Says answer.
What about that?
The Son of Man, the scientists, they get together, and every 25,000 years, they study the conditions in the world. Who's satisfied? What the percentage of satisfied and dissatisfied? And then they go about and they tackle the job of writing Quran and Bible. What kind of Muslim is this that's going to give people Quran and Bible? The Quran says that the Bible is a mix-up. It's an adulteration of what God originally revealed. That the real Torah and the real gospel is not even in the present Bible. Now what kind of Muslim is that that's going to tell us that some men get together, not the Almighty God, but some men get together every 25,000 years and write for us Bible and Quran? That's an adulteration. And what kind of Muslim is going to tell us that God descended from a father who was God? And he married a woman to get a child so to continue the God line. What kind of Muslim will give us the Pharaoh dynasty as a concept of God? What he gave us was exactly what he found in the Pharaoh dynasty. Pharaoh said, I'm God. And then when his son comes, he chooses one of his sons to be the next God. When our Pharaoh was asking the Quran about his situation, he said, oh, me? Worship God? There is no Allah. There is no God but me. That's what Pharaoh said in the Quran. He said, he's the one that made mockery of true religion. He said, hey, workmen, skilled in building, build me a ladder so I can go up in the heavens and get a look at that God Moses talking about. That's what Allah tells in the Quran, right? And wasn't that the language that Farad gave us? Gave us that same kind of mockery language to take lightly the purity of the scripture? Said, who are they talking about, our mystery God? We have been up there. We searched for him for trillions of years and was not able to find him. And we have decided that the only God is the Son of Man and not a spook. Just made lightly. That's the communist. That's the socialist. But really, they're not their own daddy. The Jacobite, the unfaithful Jew that becomes a renegade in his own Torah, disbelieving in his own Torah. It is those people that set up the communists, the Marxists, and everybody. And give these people these crazy ideas, and give them these arguments, and distort and mix up religion, and change your religion, take your brand of religion, and change it up, mess it up, put it in their language, and then put your name on it, put Islam on it, and then sell it to people before you get to them, so those people won't accept your idea of your own religion when you come to them. Yeah. They didn't want this black man coming free to be free. And they know that if we learn of our Islamic memory bank, of our Islamic memory, as Dr. Lincoln calls it, if we learn of our Islamic memory and how powerful it is in our genes because of our parents, the slave fathers and mothers being Muslim, if we learn of that, they knew that many of us were turned toward Islam because many of us came from that ancestry. And the tendency to go back is in the genes. They know that. If I had enough time, I could establish scientifically everything I'm saying. Now, dear people, so they let Farad come over here and corrupt the religion. Put it under false name. Give it false identity. Mess it up. So that when you hear the real religion, you won't want it. And the majority of those who bought that kind of materialistic presentation of the divine order, of God and the divine order, they won't stay with us. They won't be with us. They won't join us. They've left the man that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said is the man. Dawud Elijah Muhammad said, this is the man. I know he alluded, and he also spoke clearly of me. He alluded to me being the next leader, but he also spoke clearly of me being the next leader. And he also told people that I won't tell you who the next leader will be. Because if I tell you, you will plan on how to prevent him from becoming a leader. He also said that. But many of his followers who were in Chicago, at a church where he spoke, I was there myself. He pointed to me. He said, I'm like David.
That's right.
Said David didn't build a house.
Right.
He said, my son is like Solomon. He said, he will build a house.
Right.
I'm talking about 30 years ago, about approximately 30 years ago,
right.
In Chicago.
Right.
Many heard that. They wonder how come the pioneers are still with me. They're still with me because God, my father told them that I am the one.
That's right.
When I became a grown man, and Allah blessed me with my own insight, although I hadn't come into the full knowledge that I have now, but I had a great insight even then. I began to differ with my father. I didn't disturb his peace. I didn't go to him and say, you were wrong. I knew the man was fixing that. So I would come at him in soft ways, easy ways, hidden ways. And I never broke peace with him. But it was troublemakers who would bring reports on me to him. And then he would call me into question and had to put me out of the temple because of what they said. So I couldn't deny it. When they say, so-and-so say, you don't believe in our Savior like we do. I couldn't deny it. So he said, well, you know you have to be put out. I said, yes, sir. Put me out. He said, you know you won't be able to communicate with your family. Don't come around. Don't communicate with your mother. Don't communicate. I said, yes, sir. I know that. Wasn't hardly, I go home, it wouldn't be hardly 2 days past. I write him a letter. How you doing, Daddy? Hope everything's okay. He excommunicated me and tried to execute his law on me. I didn't respect it. Say, you ain't supposed to communicate with y'all. What law is that? Say, I ain't supposed to communicate with my father. I said, Daddy, I hear the convention is coming up. I hope you're in good health. I hope you'll be in good condition for the convention. May Allah bless you all to have a successful convention. He'd get enough of those letters, he'd do what? Guess what he did? Say, tell Robinson to come on back. Say, tell him he don't have to come up and say nothing. He don't have to confess nothing. Just tell him to come on back.
Allah. Oh, praise
you. You can't divide me and my father. No, you can't. And these people ain't going to follow you. They're going to follow me. Because they know too. Yes. I live to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad come around to my way of thinking. Right before my mother and before his staff, his top people in his staff, he said, my son has got it. He said, this is what we prayed for. And I asked him, I said, Daddy, I said, what do you want me to teach? I said, I'm going around. So he told me, he said, go all over the country, say, and preach. He said, and son, preach that gospel. That's what he called what he heard on the tape that they brought to play to him, thinking he was going to put me out again when he heard it. And he said, and son, preach that gospel. And I asked him, I said, Daddy, I said, what do you want? I said, I want to talk to you. I want you to know, because I want to ask you, what would you like me to tell your followers when I'm going around? He said, son, when the next man comes in, it's best not to try to tell him what to do or what to say. That's what my father told me.
Well,
said, when the next man come in, it's best for the one that's going out not to tell the one coming in what he should do. So what he was telling me is that he didn't see how to lead you into this freedom that I've led you in. He saw that God has blessed me with the insight to lead you into this freedom.
Oh, right.
And if he tried to tell me what to do, he would mess up. And he will mess up. I see it now. He said he knew I believed in something beyond this physical life. I believe when I die physically that I'm still existing. I won't be existing like this, but I'm still existing. I believe that Allah ain't limited to preserving me just like this. I believe if he wants to, he can preserve me or create me or birth me again in a higher form or in another dimension. Not no spooky dimension either. something real in this natural order. I believe that. Give me a higher expression in the natural order. I believe Allah can give me that. And my father knew I believed that, because he had heard it from others. He told me at the dinner table. He said, son, I know there's something after death. See, when death starts coming up on you, you change your story, buddy. See, he was getting old and sick, and death was coming on him. So he had time to think of it, think about these questions in a different way, or with a different sensitivity. He said, son, there must be something after. I guess he wanted to tell me, after all I've done, as hard as I work, to get these donkeys to come out of donkey brains and become intelligent people. And I'm going away here from here, son, with a bunch of hoodlums and thugs running my operation. There must be something for me beyond this. Because this show ain't no fitting place for me to see all these brutes taking over my work. See, Allah can bring you around to your good senses. And he was a good man. So long as you have good intention and you want to be right, that's hope. And I'm telling you, and there are witnesses to this, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad accepts ideas that he rejected before.
That's right.
And the proof that he accepted is that he made me the leader.
That's right.
What's his name? Yusuf Shah.
Yeah.
He was the minister in Chicago. He put me over Yusuf Shah.
That's right.
Sheikh Shabazz, James Anderson, James 3X Anderson. He was the minister in Chicago. He put me over Sheikh Shabazz.
That's right.
Farrakhan, he was a national spokesman. He put me over Farrakhan and warned me against Farrakhan. He said, son, I think he got the same thing in him that Malcolm had in him. I think his popularity has gone to his head. He would like to take my place. That's what my father told me of Farrakhan. All right? So don't tell me. You guessing. I got it straight from the horse's mouth. And you're guessing. You guessing what goes on. And I'm talking with your leader. Yes, I'm talking with your leader. He's telling me what's going on and telling me what he wants me to do. He said, don't take, no, he said, don't take the, no, nothing from them like that. He said, I don't like you to say, well, why did you sit there all that time while they were talking? I said, didn't I tell you to teach? That's what my father told me. But I'm patient. And I wanted to hear what the man had to say. And I'm talking, telling you, he was talking, man. He just walking up 9 hours. Use a shot. And in the years, and there was the great black man on the ground, Dr. Gibraltar. And another would come to save us. They would pull that little dirk out. He was just running it down, you know. So I was being entertained and I was watching him so I would know how to cure the next one. But my father didn't want me to doing that. My father got on me. He said, why you sit there knowing I want you to do the teaching? And let him go on like that. And he told you to stop. He said, don't you do that anymore. He said, don't you just sit there in this talk. Say, bring my son on. Don't wait. Don't have him wait long like that. That's what he told you to stop. So don't tell me, on the far car talking about, he's against his father and his father. My father picked me. And my father picked me because he knew I could take you into the second stage. That I could take you out of that mysticism and bring you to the solid foundation of the Quranic teaching. That's why he picked me, because he knew God blessed me with the vision to do that. And don't think he was no faithful follower of Farad. If he was a faithful follower of Farad, he would have left the lessons with you. He took all those lessons out of circulation. You want to know who first changed the community? It was Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Go and ask any of those old timers from the 30s what they believe in and talk to them and see if they sound like the followers from the 50s and 60s. Two different minds altogether. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself brought about change because he saw that the narrowness of the old teachings of Farah Muhammad would keep you in a situation where you couldn't progress in this country. Farah's teaching was designed to use black people as cannon fodder to bring about revolution and the overthrow of the system. Since that wasn't successful, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw. You can't keep these people in the same mentality. We weren't successful. That wasn't successful. White man still strong. They thought with Japan and with communism, Japan, all these forces coming up against the Western society, they thought that stirring this up in America with the black man would bring about the overthrow of the white man. It didn't bring it about. They used us as cannon fodder, but it failed. And now leave us in that net. Some of you still got a soft spot in your heart.
For
Farad, Muhammad. W.D. Farad. W.F. Farad. You got a soft spot there. You've got to make him, if not a god, an angel. He's Jibreel. If he's not God, he's Gabriel. You've got to make him something. He's nothing but a conspirator.
That's right.
What he was.
That's right.
He was a conspirator.
That's right.
And all of them want to justify their work. Justify the end, the means probably, the method that they use with the end. All of them want to do that. They say, here, we point out to you two ways. Take you either this way or that way. But while you're choosing, we're using. Right? Yeah. Here, go to the Quran or go to Yaqub's history. Stay in Yaqub's history and with that, or go to the Quran. And while you're choosing, we're going to be using. You think I'm going to come and sanction such a scheme? No. Allah has made me an enemy of Farah. And he has blessed me to bring you out of that. And as long as you have affection for Farah, you will never appreciate this Quran. And it should be appreciated. As long as you have affection for Farah, you will never be a true Muslim.
That's right.
As long as you have affection for Farah, you will never be able to progress in this country.
That's right.
No, you won't. Those who are leading you tall in that way, they're leading you up a dead end through the street. They're leading you to a cliff that's going to drop you off into nowhere. No man's land. Into the abyss. Into the bottomless pit. That's where you're headed. Just an eternity of confusion. Not knowing where to go or how to establish themselves. Be thankful. You still hold on to that? I ask you as a friend to follow your good conscience and put that mess down. Give credit to where credit is due. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was innocent, and he labored hard to try to dignify his people. So let's give credit to where credit is due. But that man who knew and come here and peddled a false religion and gave us all this false concept of the Quran and of God, I can't respect him at all. If I had him, I would lynch him from the street.
I would.
Or if he had guns, I would tell you to shoot him. Just put him against the tree and blow him to bits.
That's right.
Because that's all he deserves for coming here to this country and using God's sacred word to take advantage of people who had a receptiveness, who had an openness, an accommodation in their hearts for God.
That's right.
Pretending to be God to them, knowing that they were bitter with the white man, and he played on their bitterness. Played on that bitterness, played on that need to feel dignified, played on all of that sensitivity in order to establish a false concept of Islam in this world. Went along with the crooked conspirators in the Western society to block the truth, to block the real movement of Islam in the Western world. No, I would kill that man outright. If he would confess who he is, I could kill him. And the only reason why I don't kill the man that I think is the man is because that he has repented and to a great extent. He doesn't fight me. He tries his little devilishment, but he respects me. So as long as he doesn't come out openly, I spare. But if he ever come out openly, I will do my best to kill the man. Our life is more precious than that. A leader talking about he'll give you your life and he's free. Don't you know I'm making a sacrifice now? You think this is easy? I'm no show man. I don't enjoy you looking at me. I don't enjoy you calling me your leader. I don't need that kind of stuff. For me to come out here in this condition here and sit with you all and spend all my time with you all, I can have dignity and comfort among people of all classes. I don't have to have your company. Now for me to spend time with you and love it, don't you know I have to be sincere? To stay with you all and love it, I have to be sincere. Stand up here and talk all these hours. I'm not going along to form. I know the rules for the khutbah on Jummah day. I'm violating even the form. For what? Because you are there. keeping the form of a Jummah is for people who know their religion. You don't know your religion. Half of you don't even know what we're saying in the prayer. So my love and my concern is for you, for bringing you up to where you should be. Now, don't you know I killed somebody over this work?
A long way, bro.
I ain't no fool. I'm a sensible man. I'm an intelligent man. And I'm a rational man. I ain't no maniac. I'm no fanatic. I'm no mystic. I'm a practical, rational man. Don't you know I killed somebody for messing with my work?
That's right.
Won't you kill somebody if you start building a house here and you spent long hours and many days building it? Wet and tall, and they come there and start knocking out bricks and chains. Wouldn't you kill that person? If they wouldn't leave your property alone, wouldn't you kill them? Say, look here, stop doing that. Girl, you crazy? Get in here. We'll stop you blowing brains out. Now, this is more delicate than a house that you would build. So can't you understand now that I would put Murat up against that tree and blow his damn brains out? Sure I would. And you too. I hope we understand. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. And it's a big test. We used to have Jesus on our back. It was hard to get Jesus. A lot of our people still can't get Jesus off their back. I'm not talking about the true Jesus. I'm talking about the white imagery that keep us thinking inferior and in a frame of mind to let the white man rule us. And unjustly. I don't mind a white man ruling me if he rule me justly like he rule his own. But they keep us in a frame of mind to let the white man use us, rule us unjustly. And then now here comes Farah, and he takes Jesus' place. And that's a test from God. Now here, God bless you through the son of Elijah Muhammad, who an innocent man who was just duped by Farah. He blessed you now through his feet, through all of Elijah Muhammad's feet, to come into the clear religion, into the clear light. But you have to pay the price. You say you gave up Jesus for Farah? Now give up Farah for the true Allah. Pay the price. You think you have to give up less now? No. Give up your Savior again for the true Allah. You gave up Jesus Christ for Farah, who's offering you black supremacy, plenty of money, etc. Now, if you're sincere for Allah, give up Farah for the right mind and for the right religion, for the right conscience, for the right moral principle. Give up him now. And that's the only way you're going to get the blessing. You got to give him up. And if you can't give him up, get the hell away from around me. I don't want you. Because you are nothing but worshippers of white people. If Farad had features like me and you knew he was a so-called Negro, you would have gave him up to us. I said he was wrong.
That's right.
But they done planted white worship so much, so deep into your conscience, into your soul, that it's hard in hell for us to get you to see that you have to throw a white savior off your back. Straight hair man. Farad. Straight hair man. King features. You don't like nappy hair. You think that's inferior. You don't like African features. You think they're inferior. The Nation of Islam used to persecute Africans.
Right.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad put a cartoon on the paper with the African and African American shaking hands. But if an African came to the temple, they would persecute the man. I know this for a fact. Arabs, Indians, anybody could get an audience with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Poor African brother could hardly get an audience with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why? Because the same mentality was still there. You took Jesus off, the white image of God as Jesus off, and put the similar features, the similar image, an image that's close to it. You call it black with white too. I got it sticked in my pocket. They say his father was black, named Alfonso. Well, he must have taken after his mother only. I don't see no African in this man I got in my pocket here. I carry him around just for your sake. To show him to you occasionally.
Well,
yes, I'm gonna do it. The Lord knoweth this was a lawless land, I would identify all of you who still believe in him. And I'd put you in straitjackets until you came out of him. And accepted your arm. The Quran and Imam Wazidi Muhammad. He follows Prophet Muhammad. Don't let nobody fool you. I follow Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. I know I got a city here somewhere. Somebody didn't steal it. See, when I get to exposing things like this, one of the helpless worshippers of the white deity, they'll sneak around and while I'm not looking in the hotel, they go in my pocket and get my wallet and steal the picture of their Lord.
Talk about them. Talk about them.
But I think they haven't found it yet. I just see it here somewhere.
We know who it is.
Yeah. See, he's always hiding, though.
We know it.
I had a hard time finding him when I went and looked for him with my father's people, you see. Or he was just slipping and sliding and getting out of the way. But I finally caught him and got him face to face. Yeah, you gave a size profile to us, but I finally got you. I look right in your face, mister. That's him. Right dead in his face. I'm going to make a point of that each meeting when I bring him up. I'm going to show it to at least three people. Let you see this man that we used to worship as our God. Oh, you see that saintly looking man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Put his head off from his body and bury him in a hole somewhere. That's right.
Crocodile.
It's not the real bold, open enemy that hurt our religion. It's those so-called mystics, world conspirators, who hide and come as saints. They're the ones who hurt our religion. See, the open enemy, we can deal with them. But those who fool people, come in among people who know nothing about religion, saying, I'm the true Muslim, or I'm God in the flesh. And the Quran is this and that. They come in to block the way, keep the truth from ever coming in. They figure that once we've done this, see, and they make a deal with the government. They go to the government, and they tell the government, say, look, if you don't let us do this, these people are going to be open. So they're discontent, and they're not satisfied in time, they're going to rebel. But if you let us come in now and appeal to the, what they call the discontent among the masses, we will attract them into this net, and we will contain them. And that's what they did. The only enemy you were to this country was in your own heart. You were told to obey the white man. Obey his laws. That's what you were told. And they gave you an identification card if you were lying around a long time. I got one that they gave my mother. When I was born, I couldn't receive my own card. My mother received it from me. And the card says, the bearer of this card is a righteous Muslim. If you find him other than right, take the card and punish said bearer. That's what you had to carry. It was a must that you carry this identification card on your person when you went out in the public. So if the police arrested you for something, he found that card, the police would read that card. The bearer is a righteous Muslim. If he's found other than right, take the card. Then say, return it to us. Say, just take the card. And punish said bearer. And then you were told to obey the laws of the white man, the laws of this country. And that you can't destroy the white man. That only Allah can do that. said, the only Dalai Lama said, he told me that you can't say you couldn't, you can't kill them, brother. Say, leave that to me. So we were told not to use violence against the white man, not to carry no weapons, not even a penknife. We were told to give him an honest day's work. So tell me, what was the purpose of this, except to contain the violent, volatile, discontent masses, so that communism wouldn't have an appeal, so that really Islam wouldn't have an appeal among us, to block the way of real things coming in, not that communism is something real, but they were afraid of communism coming in the 30s because they wasn't ready for it. But by the 60s, they were ready for communist influence because they had brought the process of socialism up to that point where there's no threat. Pretty soon, they're going to allow communism to run for the president. In fact, right now, you can write in, can't you?
Right. That's right.
You couldn't do that back there in those days. The situation was too shaky, and they hadn't brought the process of socialism up to that point where they can allow something like that to happen. Now, let me tell you something. This is un-Islamic, what I'm telling you. This is un-Islamic. Not acceptable in Islam. But in Western society and many other religions, this is acceptable. That a leader come in posing as God or as a holy man sent by God, and he conspires. He works with government secretly. He works with government heads to call them into something to contain the troubled masses, so that they don't be a trouble for the government. And the government gives him in return for this the freedom to use them for his purpose. A conspiracy between two people who are operating secretly together to use the masses. One saves the saves the government from a lot of trouble, and the other one used the masses for his purpose. Now, they wanted us to go into a false concept of religion, of Islam, and they were going to come among us and say, now let us teach you the way. See, if I was still believing in that kind of savior, I would accept this man who claims to be for us. And I would present him to you. Then who would be your leader? Wouldn't be me. Wouldn't be one of us. It would be him. And those who seek the least to this father. But in time, we will get the children, the younger generation, and look for the intelligent ones, find the intellectual ones, and work on them. Don't worry about the ignorant ones, and forget about Imam Razali Muhammad. He has done all he can do. Allah bless him for at least what he has done. But we will take it the rest of the way. And they come from the Indians, the foreign Indians, the overseas Indians. They come from the Arabs. They come from all quarters among you to undermine my leadership. Some of them outright attack me, but most of them pat me on the back and then knock the top out from under me.
Sanctified.
You, right? You know you have it. You know they have got it. Yeah, they come among you to pull you away from me. I know they're doing it. I know they're doing it. And they won't stop. But Allah is with us. Allah has rewarded us for our sincerity. He has blessed us for our sincerity. I believe in that deacon. I believe Farad Muhammad was Allah. I believe the Almighty Muhammad was his messenger. And I stood up as a minister and I argued with people. I even argued with Muslims from overseas. And I thought I defeated them in the debate. I argued with them in Temple University in Philadelphia. And I thought I won the debate. I don't know if I did or not now that I look back on it. With you, I did. All of you all were applauding. You say, hey, you took care of me, brother minister. Minister Wallace took care of me, brother. Maybe I did. I don't know. But I know I gave him hell because I was sincere. And Allah rewarded us for sincerity, and he blessed us with the real light of understanding, and he blessed us with the tools that we need to establish ourselves. And believe me, I don't know. But I don't believe that anyone on this earth has been blessed with the insight that God has blessed me with into this book. In Ashhar, in Saudi Arabia, nowhere. I don't believe it. I can't say I know it. But you know why I don't believe it? Because if they have what I have, how come they in the state that they're in? See? How come they're so divided? Look, you all who accept you and accept what I give you, look how you learn if you are. I know that some of your imams can't hold you because they won't represent me. But look at how patient you are with me. Look how we sit here for so many hours. Look how you spend your little money to come where I asked you to come. Now, if they got what I got, how come they can't bring their people together like I bring our people together?
That's right.
And how come they can't impress the Western society like we have been able to impress the Western society? Believe me, the Western society, the conspirators, they don't want to see us. They rather see Farrakhan, they rather see the Almighty Muhammad come back. They rather see anything than to see what Imam Wesley Muhammad is doing among the poor. They don't want to see it. We got a lot of friends, but we got a whole lot of enemies in this establishment. Yeah. But dear beloved people, understand this, that we are still able to impress this society, and they say, they don't talk about me. They don't want to help me. They do everything to confuse and undermine me, secretly. But openly, you don't see them come out against me. I can walk right up to them. I don't care what they're doing, but I do believe with my whole heart that whatever their intentions were, they changed their minds when they see me. They respect it for what God has blessed us to come into. They respect it. Oh, yeah, they respect us. So, dear beloved people, think seriously about this. And don't be a fool that every time your chance come around, you go back under the wings of a foreigner. I'm not against other races. But look, we have centuries of history of other races being over us. We have proven that we can work under other races. It's time for them to prove that they can work under us. Well, you shouldn't keep this thing forever that we have foreigners over us. Let's see how many Arabs and Indians and Pakistanis and Mexicans and others can come under one of us. Let that be the test for them. It's time that they be tested.
Right.
We've proven that we can have them over us.
Right.
Oh, I know you're tired.
Go ahead.
This is a good thing about it. I'm not doing this intentionally either. It's the Lord's will. The hypocrites among us, they're getting the funnest men today. They all cramped up there trying to bat out. They don't want to go away because they're afraid they may lose something. They can't live with me and they can't live without me. That's a hell of a situation to be in, isn't it? That's a fitting punishment. As scripture says, that's a fitting punishment for the hypocrite. Well, it ain't my desire to see you suffer like that. I wish you would believe and come on with us into heaven. Oh, yes. Praise be to Allah. So I bring this part of the khutbah to a close now. And I hope that we have been strengthened in our faith. And I hope that our understanding has been improved. And I hope that we will be more determined in the future to support leadership of our own that Allah has blessed us with. And come together and work together as a united community to establish the directives that come from your leader, Imam Wesley Muhammad. Don't shirk. Don't be reluctant. Don't hold back. Give it all you got. Come forward. I'm not asking you to follow me blindly. You know I don't ask any man that. I reason with you. And I like to hear you have time. I like to see you have time to think over it and come to your own judgment. I don't want to force you into anything. So I'm not the kind to impose myself or you or force anything on you. I'd ask you to follow me blindly. So when you make up your mind, don't be reluctant. Don't be hesitant. Don't hold back and drag. Be energetic. Allah says, and rush. Is that right? To the mercy of God and His forgiveness. Then say, go slow. Tell you.
That's the way you're supposed to go.
Imam Azim Muhammad said, let's come together to discuss this concept of a collective community. So be it. Don't come like this.
Oh, where we going? So
what did he say? He said, come together for rest. Yeah, that's the way to do it. If you find a hypocrite controlling the program, sit down on it. Say, I'm here to support Imam Wesley Muhammad, not what you're doing.
with your support, we will make it.
That's right.
Because Allah is with us. Believe me, Allah is with us. But we have to do our part. We have to do our part. A whole lot of money been taken up. I think it sounds reasonable, you know. They've had difficulty explaining everything. So I talked to Imam Bashar, I talked to Imam Hawk. They've had difficulty explaining everything, but, you know, sometimes certain things are hard to explain.
That's right.
And it sounds reasonable to me after I looked at it, $30 for registration for 3 days. But I know one thing, when all of these expenses are paid, we're going to have some money.
We got it. That's right.
And that money better be spent on the followers, faithful supporters of Imam Wazir Muhammad.
That's right.
If they not go out of this community to the red, or to the capitalists, or to the Uncle Toms in the government.
That's
it
right.
Better be spent on the followers
that's
of Imam
right.
Wazir Muhammad.
That's right.
For his farm, to pay off our debt, our liability, it better be put all good causes for our sake, for our benefit. And you better not spend a penny until you get my okay.
We need a report.
These people are going to make big decisions of national importance. And not going to consult the national leaders? Why, that's the verse. That's the verse of action.
That's right.
Isn't it? We won't accept that.
No, sir. National report.
You throw your way where you won't have no good friends like us.
That's right.
You got good friends over here. We throw your way, man, you're going to be in trouble. Your bosses, they don't treat you like we treat you.
No, sir.
You got a man who loves humanity. And me, I love God and I love humanity. If I throw you out of here, you won't be able to serve them no more. They say, oh, we got no use for you. Sorry, but we ain't got another job. Or we can give you one, but not as good as that one. You better stick with me, man. Even if you're working for the outsiders, you better stick with me. I'm your best step. All right. I think that's wonderful. With everything out in the open very clear, I think we can say all praises due to Allah. Alhamdulillah. 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 Rabbil Alameen. Allahu Akbar. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ولا تحمل علينا إثرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين آمين. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulihi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, O Muslims, peace and blessings be upon you. Dear beloved believers, in closing our khutbah for today, I bring your attention again to this community and to what we must establish as a model. To establish a model community, we have to establish the principles of Al-Islam. We have to establish the faith, the principles of faith, and the essentials of this religion that Prophet Muhammad said in his words, Arkan al-Islam khamsa. And he also said that Buni al-Islam ala khamsin, which means that the pillars or the essentials of this religion are five. And he says that this religion has been structured upon five essentials, five important things. And we know they are Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, the purity of worship, the one, the wish in worship, one Allah, one God only, Muhammad Rasulullah. And Muhammad is not God, but the messenger of God. A mortal man is the messenger of God. Almighty God who did all this. And after that essential, that pillar, is salat, prayer. And we can't pray privately. The worship of God is not a private matter for man alone. In Islam, it is a private matter, but what's more important, it is a public matter, community matter. Muslims must meet in congregation and pray and worship their Lord. Those from politics, those from government, those from business, those from academia, those from common labor, all people must meet in the public society of Islam and worship the one Lord. Because we will not accept to have Lord raised among up over us from among men. God said, come to a term that is agreeable, that respects you and I, us and you mutually, that doesn't offend us, one of us, that doesn't favor one of us over the other, but give both sides the same respect. And what is that term of mutual term of agreement is? That we raise not from among ourselves, Lord, the Lord over us. So if a black raises the Lord up, Lord over people, then he raises up black supremacy and he disrespects the equality or the equal essence of other human beings, other races. If a white does this, he disrespects the essence, the equal essence of the black, and he raises up white supremacy through his Lord that he makes a God, right? So dear beloved people, this is very plain. So we have to establish a model community that will have models also of the purity of worship. It has to be an Islamic model. For an Islamic model, it has to have moral principle established. It has to have appreciation for business, for material life established. We just can't live in the sky and live on spiritualism. We have to have work, earth, material work. This is required in our religion. It has to have also its political structure. We live in the government of America. But every cooperation, every organization of any significance, it has its political structure. It has its executives. It has its leaders. It has its processes that it goes through in order to conduct the business or the affairs of that corporation or that organization. We have to have the same thing. We have to have our political structure. We have to have our business concerns, political concerns, spiritual concerns. We have to have all the concerns that are native to the social nature of man. And that's what we mean by community. And that's what we mean by faith. Don't you know the house that regulates the financial, the money, the taxes, the money? It's called Baytul Mal. Baytul Mal. Faith is used. Because faith, now it's not dollars, it's faith. Not dollar man, faith man. See, dollars is for public house, public official houses. But a faith, it holds the concept of social needs for man, the social needs for man, faith. The Kaaba I saw faith, and the house that controlled the money, faith man. So understand the importance of all of this, and if we are to build a model community, we are to preserve all of these essential concerns that are native to the social life of man. That's the only way we can do it. If you're not ready to take up this kind of responsibility and follow me and do a good job and be sincere and not hypocrite, believe me, you're not with me, you're not following me, you're not even a good Muslim. Any good Muslim that saw this and saw the need in the African-American community, they would support it. Especially if you're African-American. So you can't even be a good Muslim. I don't care what you claim. You can claim this Sunni, claim whatever you want to claim. You're not even a good Muslim if you won't join me in support of this. It is too important for us to be arguing over Shia and Sunni and all this stuff. We are Muslims, and this is the greatest opportunity the African-American man has had in the history of his stay here in America. So, dear beloved people, this is what I represent, and this is a real ground. It's a real foundation for us to begin on. Let's do it, and let's be willing to sweat. Let's be willing to give this the same thing we gave America. Sweat, blood, and life if we have to. Thank you very much. And may God be with us and guide us always. Bless us to see the light of this Quran and the light in the example that Prophet Muhammad established. And bless us to see that he has favored us now. He has favored us for our sincerity and blessed us to come into this. Let us pray. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم بالعالمين إنك حميد مجيد آمين.
And feel like the power of this gift is for you.